Hello and welcome everyone. My name is Luke. I am the gaming content executive here at Balthazar, and today we have a special episode for you guys. Fitch from Parallel TCG is joining us to talk about their early access gameplay coming up that you can apply for. So we ran an AMA in our private Discord with some awesome giveaways. If you missed it live, this is the recorded version. Make sure you win a spot into our new private Discord so that you can participate in many of these AMAs and giveaways as well coming up. Hope you enjoy the episode. Thank you, Fitch, for joining us. Thank you guys for being here. We're gonna get started with Parallel AMA. Fitch, I don't know if you're ready because there's some heavy hitting, hard hitting questions already. So
I took a peek. I saw there's people. I was like, damn, man, people are really typing like small novels here with these questions.
I know,
right? I think I can handle it. I think we'll be okay.
I'm like, man, it's gonna take me a half hour just to read the questions. So I don't know. Do you have a certain time limit today? We need to.
Let me look at my calendar actually.
Okay, cool. I mean, I'm thinking no more than 60 minutes, but we can go shorter if you
want. I think I have a call. Yeah, I have a call at the hour, but like it's not, I don't have to be there.
Sweet. Well, we'll give you a few minutes before then. Take a break and refresh before your next meeting. I hate going from call to call. It's always the worst.
It's just life these days.
I know, right?
Yeah, you know what I mean? And like, you're lucky if you get time to pee and like eat like a handful of almonds or something. Like it's what it is. So,
yeah, I feel like that's the life of Web3 and especially Web3 gaming.
100%.
Yeah, let's jump into things. So if you guys are here, welcome. And we got some chat questions already in the giveaway channel and the lounge chat I'll be going through. If you want to submit new questions, we just opened up the lounge chat today. So feel free to drop more questions as we go on. We'll get to as many of them as we can. Obviously, if we don't, then Fitch is already here in the Discord. There's already some great Parallel members, I'm sure, that could also help fill out some answers if we don't get to everything. And then we also have some great prizes, Parallel providing a pack, and then Balthazar, we are going to pick 5 winners as well for 50 USDC. So pretty spicy giveaway as well. Those are going to be going to the best questions. Fitch, I'm curious, do you want to pick your favorite question of the day for the pack, or do you want me to?
My favorite question. No, I think I'll pass on that.
Okay. You're going to put the pressure on me, huh?
Well, I mean, that's what you're here for.
That's what they pay me $20 for. Yeah. Sweet. Well, if you're ready, Fitch, then I say let's just go for it.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Sweet. Well, before we start with listener questions, I just have a curious question for you because one of the whole points of this is that your early access gameplay is coming out here in February for Parallel. So I just want to hear from you what it's been like being a part of this team, being a part of this game that's been developing for quite some time and not getting to release it to the public. And this is kind of the first shot at that. So just, yeah, how's that journey been for you?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, I think just the quality of the team, I often joke with Callie that we're the dumbest people on the team in you know, it's mostly being facetious, but like sort of true, you know, the talent level is extreme and people who are sort of legends in their respective crafts, like, you know, Chris Brady on the design side and Jan Urschel, you know, in terms of the landscapes, Oscar Mar as the art director, Sasha V, you know, Denzel, like the talent level is insane. And Tommy on the 3D team, right? Like he was running, you know, 3D stuff for Apple prior to this. And so he's very, very credentialed and the quality of the team is just mind blowing. And I think that's been the coolest part of the journey is like watching a universe be built in front of your eyes every day. And like, it's cool because every day in Slack, you get to see the new art, you get to see the new landscapes, you get to see, you know, this world being built. And I think that's probably been the best part of it because to me, like, I love games, right? I'm a gamer hardcore. I probably play 3 to 5 hours of games most days, right? But more than that, I'm like a lore guy. I love lore. I love universes. I love stories. I wrote my master's thesis on narrative theory, you know, so like that's very like intrinsic to who I am. And so that's been the coolest part. But then like, yeah, I mean like our flagship product is the trading card game. So being so close to showing people that in the most substantive way that they've seen it yet is really, really exciting. And I can't wait to get people in. So, yeah, I don't know if everybody here is aware of that. But in February, we are you know, opening up the alpha to a select group. The ability to apply and register to be part of that group is open now. If you go to the site in the top right, there's a button. I think it's like early access or something like that, it says. So you can click that, and you just register an account if you don't have one, and there's a short survey. And feel free to share that far and wide. I mean, everyone is welcome to apply. We'll only be selecting a certain number, but everybody's welcome to apply.
Yeah, and for those who are putting questions in the chat, feel free to keep posting them. We're going to go through an order here in a second, so don't need to repost the same question if you're already have posted them in the giveaway or lounge chat. But since we're already talking about it, Cobra just asked, how many players are you looking to select? Do you guys know for early access how many you're going to bring in?
Yeah, we haven't said that publicly, but I don't think there's any reason that we wouldn't. It's going to be approximately 2,000 that we're thinking, right? Like, and that number's subject to change. And so we're thinking about doing that in waves, right? Where a certain wave comes in and then a certain wave comes in after that. Those things aren't exactly set in stone yet, so I don't want people to like take that, you know, to the bank. But that's generally how we're thinking.
Yeah, a general estimation of what we're expecting. So, yeah, I mean, everyone should go apply. I mean, I think this is a great opportunity to get into.
It's enough spots that like you stand a pretty good chance. We've obviously like surpassed that number of applications already, including like fully filled out surveys by a good margin. But nonetheless, that's you stand a good chance. So.
There you go. So get on Fitch's good side while you still can.
I don't hold that much power. Like you overestimate me. So I'm a small cog in a big machine.
All right. Well, we're going to start with questions. We got a lot, so we'll see, you know, how many we can move through. And if your questions don't get answered, don't worry. We'll, I'm sure, have more time to answer things later. But starting all the way back from questions coming in yesterday, Leroy is asking, what makes Parallel besides augmented reality stand out from other NFT trading card games?
That's a great question. I actually would put like the augmented reality probably further down the list for now. I think that we've sort of like backburnered that a little bit, but I can't say too much there. But there are some recent conversations that may change that. But I think that, you know, we are just focused on making an excellent game. So like from a game design perspective, we have, I think, fundamental game design innovations that make Parallel very fun to play. Like the power banking system. So you, to generate energy or mana, you actually will place a playable card face down into a bank. And that's how you generate mana. So like, and we call it power, but so every turn there's an interesting choice, right? You have every card is useful to you in some way. And oftentimes what you find in Parallel is you have a handful of cards that are very useful to you. And you still need to think about, oh, do I really need to generate another energy this turn? Because I don't want to give up one of these cards. So every hand you're forced to make an interesting choice. I think the inclusion of Paragons is really interesting too. So you have faction leaders for every faction, and you choose them to sort of like guide your macro play style. And that forms like a really interesting dynamic. You know, the balance between the parallels is really good too. And it's really exciting and fun. And there's like unique mechanics with like Shroud and the banishment and all that stuff. So I think just from like the core thing that I would say is the actual game itself is really good. And that's probably the core innovation. Otherwise, like it's visually stunning. I don't think that there's anyone who's really on our level in terms of like visual production in the NFT world, games or not. And so, you know, you can imagine that the production UI is going to be really slick. You know, the art of the cards is going to be, we've all seen it. It's mind blowing. So the other thing that I think we stand out for is quality of visuals. And, you know, you spend a lot of time looking at the game, right? Many hours. And so I think you want it to look awesome. And that's also like something that I think we absolutely crush at.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. Not only just NFT games, but you guys' card art and the look so far is probably just better than most TCGs in general. At least in my opinion.
Feel like having seen the production client, I do genuinely feel we will be competing for best looking TCG in the world, period. Like Web3 or not. So
sweet. Yeah, well, let's keep the questions rolling. Next one, also from Leroy, and a lot of people asking about the economy. This specifically, if too much value is being extracted, then value injection, your economy will lead into a death spiral. How are you dealing with value extractors to ensure your game will not collapse like other NFT games out there?
Yeah, another great question. I mean, that's been sort of top of mind from the beginning. So I think this is where like play to earn versus win to earn is an important distinction. Parallel is not what I would sort of generally call like a play to earn game. It's more of a win to earn game. What I mean is that like a minimum action. So just like clicking buttons, you know, if you're just a button clicker, you're not going to be extracting any value from the ecosystem. I think the issue with like other NFT game ecosystems is that very minimal, easily reproducible actions were able to extract value. And so you then have like farms that are created and that nobody benefits from that because that, what does that encourage? That encourages the worst sort of behaviors in the ecosystem, the least productive, the least skillful, versus in parallel, it encourages skill strongly. And so there's like a number of different mechanisms that are designed to have you like reinvest in the ecosystem what you have pulled out. So card spawning is a good example. If you hold the cards, the base set cards as NFTs, you will be able to spawn new versions of those cards if you spend a small amount of Prime, which is the token, and you spend Renowned. What is Renowned? That's in-game XP that's accrued for meaningful, skillful, valuable actions. So not only do you say we're not going to reward just base level low value actions, but you also say we're going to strongly encourage you and reward you for reinvesting into the ecosystem. And so I think that is kind of generally speaking the way that we think about it. There's a lot of nuance I could get into there, but I don't think that we have enough time to really dig into that subject in tremendous detail, but that's the general way that I would frame our answer to that.
Sure, that's great. Blue Feather, a little bit follow-up on the economy side of things, talking about investors, saying almost 80% of investors have focused on just the price of tokens in the short term and instead of understanding long real value of the project. Can you tell us about your approach towards investors? I don't know, how familiar are you with parallel investors? Do you have any thing to talk about there, or should we move on?
I don't know how like relevant of a question that is to really answer. Like we haven't sold any tokens and we won't ever sell any tokens as an entity. Our fundraise was equity. And I think that the value of the token is tied to the quality of the game and the design of the ecosystem. So if we've made a quality game, which I believe that we have, and if we've done good ecosystem and economic design, which I believe that we have, and we've accounted for long tail accrual of value, which I believe that we have, then the token will be fine. But I don't want to speculate here on token price.
Sure. Yeah. No financial advice, but you can share what you guys are planning on.
It's not to like doing the basic things right. I mean, at the end of the day, we want the token to have utility and be a viable part of a growing and thriving ecosystem. So the question is, does it have utility? Is the ecosystem set up right? And is the thing that the ecosystem revolves around interesting? AKA the game and the universe. So if the answer to those things is yes, which you can make your own determination on that, then the token will do fine.
Sweet. Well, this one should be a softball. Are all graphics designs from the original Parallel devs, or is it a fork of another online game outside of blockchain?
Everything is completely original and Parallel, every visual. And in terms of the actual game design, sure, like there are things that are reminiscent of other games. It would be stupid to say that we didn't, I don't know.
Sure. Inspiration. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like there is a core way to do, it's like you don't reinvent the wheel. There's a core way to do card games that works. So like certain things generally like don't ever change across card games, or like almost every game has them. So like things like that we'll certainly have from Magic or Hearthstone. But I mean, there's like also pretty new things and new ways that Parallel works that are unique to us. But no, in terms of like visual IP, everything is completely bespoke and created in house.
As they say, nothing is new under the sun, but
nothing is new under the sun, yes. Sun never sets on the, that's a different phrase.
All right, Logos is wanting to know, owning NFTs, is that giving any advantage in-game, or how does that work?
In terms of will you be better at Parallel for owning NFTs? No, you will not. So that's an important thing to highlight. You're not going to be better than someone else just because you have NFTs. However, you will earn renowned prime. You will be have unique sort of in-game like cosmetic benefits for the NFTs. The NFTs are part of the whole like extra economic ecosystem alongside the game. So there is a strong incentive to have them, right? Like it, but will you actually be better in terms of skill at the game because of them? No, you will not.
Yeah, cool. And then the parallel sci-fi universe seems quite attractive and innovative in my opinion. So will we be able to buy or build lands as well as design and find items in parallel games?
Good question. Thank you for the first part. We have some ideas there. We have some ideas there. Yeah,
you're going to leak all the alpha now.
No. we have some ideas there. I think we were going to move a little bit more aggressively in that direction. And then I think just a lot of other things came up. And then, you know, like, I think that there's certain things that we would want to do first before we did anything like lands, right? But, you know, we've seen, I don't know if the parallel folks in the audience remember that that gallery space where it was like the card room that you could walk into. You know, in typical Kalos fashion, he has like a mind-blowing idea of like where to go with that concept, right? So I think that we've like alluded to where the vision would be for that, which is like, could everybody sort of like own their own like little rooms or like plots within the parallel universe? It's not something that we're actively focused on right now. I'll just be 100% straight up with that. But it is something that we've discussed, and I think there's been some like work around concepting what it would be like. But again, that's like heavy caveat that's not something that's being worked on right now actively. And I think that there's like other pieces that we need to come first. An example of that is one thing that we are actively working on, which is the avatars, right? We've kind of put that out there publicly. So, you know, that's something that we are actively working on that people can expect to see next year. And so that's our sort of like version of PFPs on steroids. Like it's way more than a PFP. And it probably will be the most innovative sort of PFP-like thing that's ever been created in NFTs. And I don't exaggerate when I say that. It's actually mind-blowing what the team has created. So this is Tommy's 3D team kind of doing advanced wizardry with creating, you know, these incredibly detailed and realistic characters, and a whole procedural engine around how to do that. So that's really exciting. And that is something we're actively working on. But you have to think about it. Before you would have a land, you would want a character to be on the land, right? So, you know, I don't know where or if we are going to explore the land thing. But what I can say is that we are going to explore characters, avatars that you own, that will be customizable. We've also put out screens that show that. So claim artifacts from the cards that you own. So if you have the supply drop card, there's a laser rifle in that card. You claim that laser rifle, you put it on your character. Already we're in like very cool, don't think I've ever seen this before territory for NFTs. So we are working on that and you will see that next year.
Yeah, and I appreciate that response. You know, I would rather see a team say, hey, we're thinking about land, we're thinking about these ideas, but we don't have anything out yet or anything concrete, because I feel like a lot of people, especially in the bull run last year, it was just this trend, right? Like it was a trend to have a breeding in your game. It was a trend to have land in your game. So no matter how you can make it work, just slap it in. And so I do appreciate that you guys are kind of thinking through, like, is this actually going to bring value to the game and to the ecosystem?
Yeah, I think it just has to be done in like a really compelling, high quality way. That's kind of like our standard internally. And I don't think that for lands that really makes sense in the immediate present or even probably midterm, it's just a big thing. Like, and if we were to do it at like Parallels level, it would involve a lot of resources, like a ton. Seven figures plus spent kind of thing, you know? And so because to generate those lands, you know, you need like a procedural generation engine, and that needs to be like, you know, all these advanced renders that have to be based on real properties. So all of those have to be designed. So I can tell you the amount of work that, because we've sort of scoped it out, that will go into it is really substantial. And I don't think that we're prepared to sort of like go down that path right now, but we are interested in hypothetically doing that in the future. So
cool. Love it. Joshua has four questions for us. I'm going to try to narrow them down to just one here. And just talking about how the team is the most vital point of a Web3 game in their opinion. And they also say many projects look great on a white paper or roadmap, but face a lot of difficulties when trying to implement the project mission and end up failing. So can you talk about the team's experience in coming over hurdles or their plans and just the experience of this team in general?
Yeah, I'll actually just put in Lounge Chat the image with like our team's experience. You can see in that tweet and that image the pedigree of the team that we have here. But I think as was well highlighted there, that does not mean that we're just automatically going to like overcome challenges. We spend a lot of time thinking about the difficulties of what we are doing and preparing for them. I think one of the challenges that that keeps me up at night is like getting gamers to care about this, you know, because like just because you have something that's visually stunning and a good game, if NFTs are associated with it, they may dismiss it. So we have thought a lot about that. And, you know, I think probably the biggest challenge will be that, in my opinion, just getting like breaking through the glass ceiling. You know, it's something that we are probably as well positioned as any Web3 game to do that, to break through. But doing it is another thing. And so, yeah, I don't have like a clear answer for you on that. I can say that we are in a good position to do it from a product perspective. I can say that we're in a good position to do it from a team perspective, but doing it is a different thing. So we'll see if we can.
Sweet. Well, I know you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I wonder if you have anything to add. Desm is asking regarding your NFT, is there any benefits of holding them? Are they just simple collectibles? What's the benefit of having one?
They open up access to Prime, Renowned, like the whole economic ecosystem of the game. Like you will not earn by playing Parallel if you don't have NFTs. And, you know, the in-game cosmetic aspects and stuff like that too, and sort of access to other, you know, aspects of the universe. So like I just mentioned the avatar concept. So unlocking gear for your avatar, the primary vehicle for that is cards. So
sweet. And then Desm plus commitment, they're both kind of asking the same question. I think a lot of people are worried, especially after seeing things like the Axe or hack of Axie Infinity. Do you guys have anything, any plans, any security measures that you can speak to?
Yeah, I think what was exploited there was like a bridge, right? And it always seems to be a bridge that gets exploited. I don't think that there will be a bridge that is, you know, directly gating control to large amounts of Prime anywhere in the Prime ecosystem design. Furthermore, we have, you know, the fortune to be backed by Paradigm, and Paradigm has some of the smartest security developers in the world who review our code. So we have every piece of code at Parallel that's got users at scale gets audited. And, you know, even minor pieces of code may be deployed without a full tier audit and then are audited usually shortly after. So it's a good practice that we engage in internally. Our leadership is quite, you know, sort of adamant about that and pushes that. So, you know, it's something that we try to do sort of universally. And for more important pieces of code, you know, we send those to the GigaBrains at Paradigm and have them specifically take a look. So
that's great to hear. Yeah, I think that gives everyone a little more confidence, hopefully, moving forward and participating. Commitment was asking, majority of play-to-earn games are very easy and lack any difficulties. In other words, playing can get monotonous. So I know you've played the game a bit, Fitch. What would you say about keeping the game play fun and people engaged?
Parallel is like easy to pick up, but hard. Like it's not an easy game at all. I mean, we have Bavin in the audience here. He beats my ass like 90% of the time that we play. Like the skill cap is really high, right? Like, again, it's a strategy game. And I think the strategy games are in a good position to like not have that issue. You know, so you can pick it up and you can be good at, you can be like a viable player after probably 20 to 25 matches, you've got like a decent grasp on the game. But to master every parallel, and, you know, that's going to take a huge amount of games, right? So like, and even when you have, you're not, there's always new combinations. And then when we come out with an expansion, that's going to change things. So like, it's really complex. I mean, there's what, 286 cards in the base set. All of them have primary and sometimes secondary functions. You have a primary hand that you play. You have what's on the field. You have what's in the bank. You have what's in the singularity for Shroud that's been banished. You have what's in the waste. You have interactions between all of those things, right? So at any given time, there are many, many variables in parallel at play. You will not be bored. I can promise you that.
Sweet. Cap Cosmos is asking, do you have any in-game events where players will be able to actively participate in tournaments, competitions? Can you tell us more about your rivalry game ecosystem?
100%. So yeah, there will be a rank ladder with like an MMR type system. And there will be, you know, leagues, various leagues. You know, there'll probably be parallel specific league. We've already seen an announcement from Paragon's DAO working with Black Hand that they are working on a league. I know that they're working on a large tournament as well. I don't want to say too much about that. But there will be, you know, a variety of tournaments with prize pools. There will be leagues with sort of like ongoing periodic, you know, prizes associated with them. There's the ongoing rank ladder. I personally am quite keen on the competitive aspect of Parallel. And so I want to make sure that that's prominent.
Yeah, great to hear. I love that concept of, you know, making it win to earn, you know, instead of just, hey, you get to earn by just being a novice or just tuning in and doing nothing else. I like that you guys are actually bringing out competition.
I think it's okay if you earn a very small amount, right?
Sure, yeah.
You know, but if you're good, you should earn more. That's just how it works, so.
All right. Cap Cosmos is also asking, mobile games are popping up this year and are more popular in the future. So Parallel, any plans for it to be on iOS or Android?
Yes. Yes. It's being looked into now. I know that there's some sort of background work going on that. So it won't be at the time of full launch. At the time of full launch, we're looking to, you know, have Windows for sure. We probably Mac around then or shortly after. And then for mobile, we're, you know, that will be our next thing to tackle. And we know it's important. So.
Sweet. All right. A couple questions around the fact of getting new gamers into the space, especially those that don't have any blockchain knowledge, and how easy will it be to get into the game? They're asking, you know, will there be logins like Facebook, Apple, Google? I don't know how close you guys are to knowing how those things will go. But yeah, if you want to speak on that.
Yeah, one thing that's important to note is that you won't require a Web3 wallet or any NFTs to play Parallel. So, you know, it is a free to play game that doesn't require any Web3. So from like a basic level, it's easy to get started. As far as like all the ways that we're going to allow people to create an account and log in, I'm not 100% sure on that right now, but it should be fairly easy to start. That doesn't mean, though, that we're going to just like be able to get people to do that, right? I kind of spoke about that earlier. That's the real challenge. So it's going to take a lot of work, and we're certainly going to have to spend some money to get that to happen. But I think we're in a good position because we've sort of like de-emphasize the NFT and Web3 aspect of Parallel, and we'll continue to do so and more emphasize the game. So I think as every week and month passes, the focus will be more on a great TCG, not a Web3 game. Because I don't, frankly, I just don't really want to be the best Web3 game. That's not a prize worth winning. I want to be the best, you know, trading card game that we can be. So, you know, the point of the game isn't Web3. That's just a nice thing that adds benefit to users.
We've talked a lot here
you and I have talked about, right?
You know, five years from now, hopefully it's just gaming, right? Like, there's games that utilize blockchain technology, maybe there's still, you know, plenty that don't, but you know, hopefully eventually there's not this Web 3 versus Web 2 distinction.
Reading about like RuneScape, nobody says a grand exchange game. Right. This is how they swap value in but it's RuneScape. It's a game, right? So I don't know. I just want to be a great game. And those other ecosystem, you know, and economic aspects are supportive of that. So
sweet. Well, Pendek is also asking about leveling up your NFTs. Do you have to buy more NFTs? Do you get XP as you play? How does that work?
Yeah, you get XP, and you know, you can spend that XP to spawn new cards, right? So it kind of makes you, as the holder of cards, the distributor of cards as well, which is a cool model. Hopefully that answers that.
Great. And I don't know how familiar you are with the business side of Parallel, but a few people are asking, what's the revenue model for Parallel actually making money and, you know, having enough funds to keep developing?
Yeah, so I don't know the exact amount that we've made to date, but it's probably close to 20 million.
Wow. Is that from pack sales or?
A variety of things, pack sales, comic, secondaries, you know, over time. And, you know, I think that we've actually been probably, in terms of revenue, one of the most successful projects out there. And have, you know, and the good thing is that we've preserved the vast majority of what's been invested into Parallel as well, so that we can continue to grow at the rate that we are and that we can, you know, spend money to market the game effectively. You know, the thing is, like, you know, people, I think, want like a healthy, thriving game that's really robust and excellent. And that costs a shit ton of money, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
It costs a mind-blowing amount of money.
Any good game does.
Parallel operating is a figure that I think people would not expect, right? So, you know, we don't want to just go out there and spend the investment capital. We want to be, you know, earning revenue and have that be a positive sum equation too. And thus far, you know, we've been really good at that. So we're in a very secure financial position. We've generated revenue that I think covers what we've spent thus far, you know, clearly, and I'm not 100% sure on that, but it's close. But you know, again, like to produce everything, you know, with like ultra high quality visuals, 3D assets associated with them, you know, all of the game development and design, you know, any sort of like external partners that we work with, all these things, and having the size of team that we have with like truly excellent, you know, team members at every position, costs a lot of money. So, you know, we're thankful to be in a position where we're very financially secure. And we have had, you know, I think probably some of the strongest revenue generation and consistency with that, of NFT projects, so that even in a bear market, we're okay. You know, we're very secure and, have funds to operate for years to come.
Yeah, I think that's a key thing that you brought up. And I see a lot of people talk about these Web3 games as being so greedy and, you know, selling, you know, X amount for high amounts of money for the NFTs or something like that. It's just, as you bring up, like, if you think about having a team of 100 people, even if somehow the average salary is only 50 grand, you know, that's still $5 million a year, you know?
Yeah, we're not paying developers 50 grand. We're not paying any artists 50 grand. It's all much higher than that.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, when you start to add it up, it's like, oh, damn. All right. And then you look at external partners, you look at 3D work, right? Like, these things are expensive by nature. It's just, yeah, it does add up really quickly. But I want to reiterate that, like, we're in a very secure position. And like, when it comes to pricing products, we do our best. I don't think that we've always got it right. But we do genuinely try to make it like a fair and equitable pricing model. You know, we run data on that that says, like, are these things priced fairly based on X, Y, and Z factors? And we really try to stick to that. It's not like we're trying to squeeze people. You know, we just want to kind of have the capital to operate our business and build something that's really special. And thus far, we've been successful at that.
Yeah, good stuff. Ross has a fun question. He says, I grew up loving and playing MTG, collecting Pokemon, etc. It might be safe to assume that youth have played a pivotal role in the success of trading card games historically. Is Parallel planning to break into that demographic, and how might you go about doing that with some of the complexities of BCB games?
Yeah, great question. I mean, I think mobile will be pretty essential for that. You know, I don't know that we're going to make like a super young push until we get mobile. And so, you know, that's probably going to be the biggest piece. And then, yeah, I think the other piece of that is, you know, making sure you've like abstracted away the complexity of the UX as much as you can by the time that that happens. And then putting the message about the game in the channels that young people are on, like TikTok. As much as I hate TikTok, it's, you know, we can't deny the importance of that place. So, I think that's kind of my answer to that.
Yeah, I would be very interested to see. I know AR isn't the first thing that's going to be coming out, but I'm interested to see, especially how the younger generations who are spending so much time on their phone and having this ability to pull it out, hopefully locally with friends and get to play in AR, if that brings some longevity to being committed to the Parallel franchise.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think it's a good hook, right? Like it, people see it and they're like, oh shit. I mean, yeah, we think, cause I think that the focus thus far has been on VR and really like mixed realities. This is the greatest potential. So I think that mixed reality is kind of where we're going to see the most innovation and probably most of our focus as well. So.
Sweet. Bran is asking, and I don't know if you know what he's referring to, is the launch party in Japan still on the table? Any plans for meetups like the LAN party last year?
Yeah, I mean, look, we love the meetups. That's one of my favorite things about Parallel is our meetups. Our last two physical events have been amazing. Like, they're super, super dope. So we do want to do that. And I have specifically championed, you know, doing a launch party. So like I personally am like bought into that concept and I'm pushing for it. So we'll have to see. As far as like Tokyo, I don't know. There's going to be a lot happening next year. And so it's going to kind of come down to just timing and not so much budget, but more like what's everybody's priorities at the time. So
sweet. Well, I'm guessing some of these questions are coming from the Parallel community themselves, which I love. I think it's Nikeser says, which Parallel is the strongest one and why is it Markolian?
So true. So true. I mean, I'm a Markolian maxi, as many here will know. I like Markolian a lot just because it's blitzy. And what I'm planning on doing is, you know, early on when people are still trying to figure out what's going on, just hitting them in their face with Markolian super hard, you know, and be like, wake up, you're here, right? Like, no, nobody's going to take it easy on you, you know? I think Markolian is currently one of the strongest factions, if we're actually being serious about that question. You know, it's quite good. Shroud is quite good. Earthen's come a long way. I think Agincourt is kind of sort of getting figured out a little bit more, and Cathari. But you know, it's they're all going to be effective in various ways, right? So even if things are sort of, because like you have things that were in the meta that are not in the meta now, is kind of my point. So things will come in and out of the meta, and things are continuing to be balanced. And it's going to be really interesting to see, I think, during the alpha, what people use, how effective it is, and who's winning, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that leads perfectly into Sai's question saying how balanced is Parallel. A lot of other card games they've played are boring because a certain card gets too overpowered. How do you prevent this? And I don't know how much of this upcoming Parallel early access is going to be about balancing versus just like testing servers and matchmaking.
Well, it's, you nailed it, Luke. It's more about testing servers and matchmaking and UX. Like, we actually feel pretty strongly that the game is very balanced already. Because keep in mind, like, we've been playing a test version of Parallel for like 9 months or something like that. It's been a long time. So, I mean, at this point, thousands of matches of Parallel have already been played. And people who have, you know, varying levels of skill in TCGs too, from like experts to novices, have all played in our testing pool internally. And so, like, we're at a point now where we feel pretty good about it. There's clearly things that are strong, right? But there's not anything that's like categorically broken right now that I would say. So I think that it's actually remarkably well balanced. The first time I played Parallel, which again was like 8 or 9 months ago, I was like, damn, this is really well balanced. Even back then, that was like my first impression. I was like, wow, they actually nailed this whole concept, right? You know, each of the different parallels feels unique, but it feels capable. And then I think the more you play, certain things, certain weaknesses and strengths are revealed more. But that was, if that was my first impression, that's a really good sign because it's gotten much better since then.
Great. Edric is asking, do you have a coin burn or buyback system for Prime?
No.
Will you have one?
That's not a question I'm even interested in answering. Let's move on.
Fair enough. A couple of people are asking, will there ever be wagered matches in parallel?
So we fully imagine that people will build that, right? And I personally will be happy to use systems like that. I think it gets complicated from a regulatory perspective if we build it. But like if somebody else builds it, more power to them, right?
Yeah. Zero X12 Fab is asking about the target audience. They're asking, is the franchise aiming for more of the nerdy MTG Hearthstone guys, or do we want to attract the young kids who are into Pokemon, Lego, Ninja, Go, et cetera, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's both, right? And like, I do spend a lot of time thinking about that. I think that like being, so, you know, you have in the TCG world, like the vast majority of stuff is high fantasy. You know, if you think about Hearthstone is high fantasy, MTG is high fantasy, parallel sci-fi. And it's like realistic and stunning and gritty and cool. And I think that that opens up more opportunities for us to appeal to different demographics than just sort of like the TCG, hardcore TCG player. But I think that you need the hardcore TCG players there. That's kind of like bread and butter. They're going to make your game better. They're going to be the most active players. You know, they're going to be probably the most involved in the ecosystem. So, you know, but as an IP, as a franchise, we definitely want a variety of audiences engaging. And I do think that we want younger audiences who are maybe have never played a TCG before. I think that the arrival and success of Marvel Snap is really reassuring because what it says is that if you have a smooth, you know, UX and like relatively compelling gameplay and a cool franchise behind it, a lot of different kinds of people will play. Because I people played that I probably have never, ever played a TCG before. So hopefully that answers that.
Yeah, and expanding the question a little bit, Blue Feather was asking about Southeast Asia being a very vibrant market for gaming. So what do you think about plans to grow there? Do you guys have a feeling of where most of your community audience is from a global perspective yet?
Yeah, I mean, Asia is critically important, right? There's no doubt about that. You know, Philippines, Korea, Japan, China, right? Like there's a lot of really important areas, you know, that we want to be strong in because there's a lot of gamers there and a lot of gamers that, you know, would be likely to play parallel, I think. Currently, we do index, you know, more heavily in U.S., Canada, Europe, as I'm sure people would imagine. Interestingly, you know, for the signups for Alpha, we've had large spike in South Korea signups. So, you know, that's a good sign that people from other demographics are becoming interested. Obviously, we do have a global audience as is, but it does index pretty heavily in the aforementioned countries. But we will, without a doubt, make it an effort to grow in Asia, Latin America. You know, I think those are both really important demographics. So.
Sweet. Well, everyone, we're going to keep doing questions, maybe do like a rapid fire mode here, Fitch, for about the next 6 minutes. We want to make sure you have some time before your next call. So if you have any more questions, feel free to put them in, but we're hopefully going to get through most of them. Sorry if we skipped over anyone's questions. I've been doing the best I can to kind of combine some of them just for the sake of time. And then we'll announce the winner, some of my favorite questions here. So, Fitch, are you ready for some quick rapid fire?
Let's do it.
All right. Deeb is asking, what are your plans for streamers for the upcoming test? Streamers are the ones who will invite more players to join.
Yeah, so it's alpha. It's not beta. So we're not going to be like stacking streamers. It's a testing phase, not a... There's a difference between an alpha and a beta. Next cool. question.
yeah, for sure. Samson, do you think having a movie / series based on your game? If yes, have you taken serious steps yet?
Yes, we have thought about it. I wouldn't say that we've taken serious steps. We've definitely thought about it, though.
Sweet. Edric, what are your top three priorities for 2023? Or maybe just pick one. I'm assuming one of them might be the early access there.
Yeah, I think just like an excellent game launch, growing the game. And then probably the next biggest thing is like a good release of the avatars.
Sweet. Edric is also asking tutorial videos for getting to know about the game and the project.
Yes, we will have lots of those. I am aware of how important they are.
Sweet. Well, and yeah, let us know when you want us to help out with those as well.
yeah. I mean, you guys have, you know, sort of already broken the dam on that a little bit. And I'm sure we'll be working with you guys on more of those. But yeah, we've already, you know, begun some conversations with TCG content creators around that. So
awesome. Does Parallel support scholarship programs?
So implicitly sort of yes, right? Like there is a mechanism for, I'm not sure how to answer that really. Not like as you probably are meaning it, but there are like various kinds of incentives for doing things in parallel, or there will be, including like content creation or articles, or obviously like playing the game and being good at it. We know that there's incentive for that. Hopefully that answers that. But no, we don't have like explicitly speaking a scholarship program, because I think the concern is that we don't want the word scholarship kind of has like a connotation with farming behavior a little bit. And I don't mean to be insulting when I say that. I think that that's where it's been associated in the industry. And we don't want farming behavior in the game. So, you know, if you're talking about scholarship in terms of I want to be an active participant in the game ecosystem, I want to create content, I want to play and win, absolutely. The answer is yes.
Especially if it's free to play. I mean, a lot of the reason scholarships popped up in the first place was because it was just crazy high expensive barriers to get into some of these games.
Right, exactly.
All right, Parallel NFT Marketplace. Compared to other models, what's the advantage of using that marketplace, and is it safe to use?
Who asked this question?
Issue says, I see a Parallel NFT will also provide an NFT marketplace. Is that true?
Yeah, sort of. We haven't, where did they see that? We haven't, like, that doesn't exist yet. So, I mean, currently, if you want to buy our NFTs, you typically go to OpenSea or like Uniswap or, you know, place like that. We are going to make some features around that. I don't know how much I can even say on that.
Sure. Yeah.
We've said that in the past and I just forgot, but yeah, I don't know. We will have some things, variety of things that you can sort of like buy with Prime and like, certain marketplace features.
We'll just say stay tuned for more.
Yes.
Deeb is asking, do you have a plan to add more cards in the future?
Like I said, the base set is the base set. If you have a card in the base set, that is the supply of that card. Like it is, we once it's issued, we don't increase it further. You as the holder of that card have the opportunity to spawn extra copies by paying Prime and Renown to do so. Will we issue expansions, like totally new cards later on after the game launch? Yes. But like we don't print more of the base set, if that's what you're asking.
Sweet. Personal question for Fitch and Luke. Luke, what was your favorite physical TCG? Do you see any connection to Parallel? Personally, I think back to my teenage years of Yu-Gi-Oh! Is probably my go-to. What about you?
Yeah, it was Pokemon for me. I didn't actually play like the card game Pokemon as much. Obviously, I collected a ton of cards. I played, you know, Pokemon on Game Boy, though, a lot. So it was definitely Pokemon. I think that like that's Pokemon was kind of the ultimate like collecting game, you know, and I think that every TCG has some level of inspiration that came after from that. So.
Sweet. All right. Let's see if we can get through a couple more upcoming tests. Do you have plan on having bug hunter events or suggesting and accepting comments from the testers to I'm trying to go too rapid here. Or will you accept suggestions and comments from the testers and might change the game from their comments?
Yes, 100%. That's the whole point of the event. We actively want feedback. And there will be a variety of ways to provide that. And it doesn't have to be, oh, this is a bug. It can also be, hey, I don't like this feature, or like this UI doesn't make sense to me. All of those things are greatly welcomed and is, I would say, the literal point of doing it. And we would absolutely make changes based on feedback.
Great.
And will. So
CBS says, tell them about the physical cards and the string technology. I don't know if
you know. Oh, yeah. We haven't talked about that. We have physical cards that we've been making too. And, you know, they're really excellent quality. And, you know, the idea is that we're working towards a system that will connect the physical card to, you know, an NFT. It's kind of this like end-to-end connection, you know, mediated by the blockchain. So it's a cool concept. I know that there's been, you know, some more like physical NFTs, you know, with the artifact sneakers and stuff like that. So that's something that we've been working on for quite a while.
Okay. Gonna round it out here. A couple more. When can I get a pocket dimension toy for my shelf? Says Cobra.
Pocket dimension toy. Yeah. The toys are still in production as far as I know. I don't think that there's been any like stop in that process. So when, I don't know. I actually genuinely, if I knew the answer, I would tell you I don't. But I, as far as I know, the toys are all continuing to be produced. So I don't know if we have a pocket dimension specifically, but we have a variety of toys. So
sweet. And then I didn't hear anything about bonds. What are bonds and will they be ready at launch?
Yeah, so the bonds are like on-chain teams, sort of, right, is the way to think about that. For Alpha, no, they won't be in there as far as I understand. But for Beta, they would be. So to my knowledge, that's correct. And I will go double check on that after this and make sure that I'm not screwing that up. But I believe that's the case. There's been a lot of like thought and planning around them. They're actually more complicated than they might seem. They will be in there for beta is my understanding.
Sweet. Well, Fitch, thank you so much for your time. Audience, thank you so much for the wonderful questions. I know we didn't get to each and every one. And I think some of you guys maybe missed the first half because I see some doubled up questions. So if you're wondering what some of those questions are, we will be putting up a podcast version of this next week. So you can go back and listen to anything that you missed out on. Fitch, do you want me to announce the answers before you jump off, or do you got to go?
Go ahead. I don't have to go immediately.
All right. So we'll just announce the winners. You can know what questions you submitted. We don't have time to read each every question and why they won. But for first off, the 550 USDC winners, we have Leroy Castle Blackwater, Joshua, Bran, Ross, and Deeb, D-I-I-B. So congrats to you guys. I'll be collecting in the giveaway channel your wallet addresses so that we can get that to you. So congrats and thank you guys for those wonderful questions. And Fitch, are you ready for the pack winner? Do you know what pack is this?
It's the last one. What is that? Five? Yeah, five.
Okay, good. I'm glad you know your own pack numbers.
Some days I don't, Luke. Some days I don't.
So. Too many to keep track of. That's fine. All right. Well, a little drum roll. And the winner submitting what we didn't have time to go over, but I loved each and every one of them. They had seven excellent questions, which I love the detail, love how much you're committed to coming up with some great questions for us. So the winner of the pack will be Cap Cosmos. So GG's, congrats to you. And I'm assuming Fitch, do we want to collect their ETH wallet address for that?
Yeah, you just send that to me and I'll get it sorted.
Sweet. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time, Fitch. Loved having this. And hopefully some of us from our community can get into that early access because we'd love to be playing some matches against you guys and having fun together.
Yeah. And feel free to share, you know, the sign up for early access with your friends. That's part of the process. You know, we want people to get in there, fill out that survey and give it a shot. And we'll get in as many people as we can. And again, if you don't get into alpha, it's only going to be a couple months after that until, you know, beta. So it won't be too much longer after alpha ends that beta will start. So.
Awesome. Well, Fitch, peace out. Audience, peace out as well. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks for coming and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Cheers, Luke. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Peace. That's going to be it for today's episode. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Again, if you want a spot into our private Discord, just make sure you interact. We do a lot of giveaways on our Twitter, YouTube, and other areas as well. So if you're interacting there, you most likely will get a spot. So stay tuned. Also, if you want to check out Balthazar's other resources, we are doing our best to help everyone get into Web3 gaming, onboarding all the Web2 gamers that we can through our SDK, which just is a easy wallet solution that's familiar to Web2 gamers, as well as great content and research reports to help you guys find some of the best Web3 games out there. That's going to be it. Thanks, Gracias Salama, for tuning in. See you in the next episode.